You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, August the 7th, and a beer a day keeps the weight away. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Thanks for spending some time with us here this summer on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to talk about Andre Drummond's weight loss plan and also some more of our interview with Aaron Ferguson, the new site expert of Piston Powered, the fan-sided blog about the team. And we're actually going to be talking about the Pistons today. For those of you who are, you know, a little bit irritated with me asking him questions about growing up and going to Bradley and all that stuff, I know that this is a Pistons-centric podcast, and some of you guys get on me for straying a little bit too much, but that's what we do here in August, and I hope you guys can appreciate that as we navigate through the NBA's offseason. But hey, training camp will be here in no time at Michigan State, by the way, this year. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But the Locked On Fantasy Football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer in the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else, then you are the same. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. Find it there and listen to it. Win some big money this fall. I know I will. I'm looking forward to getting a little bit of different kind of perspective from some of the people in my leagues this year. And covering the Lions, I know people think, oh, you cover football up close and personal several times a week, so you must know a lot more about what's going on in the inside of the league. Trust me, I tell you everything I say in the what we write for the Detroit News. And you get a little bit Lions-focused, and you maybe don't spend as much time looking around the league as maybe some of you other guys do as being somewhat more casual fans. So I plead ignorance on my fantasy football leagues in case you're in one of my drafts and think I might know something. And trust me, I definitely don't. But interesting stuff, speaking of some things that we definitely don't know, and that's Andre Drummond. He has the weight loss plan to end all weight loss plans this summer, telling Vince Ellis recently at a sporting goods store in Rochester Hills, where Vince Ellis caught up with the big man, Free Press reporter Vince Ellis there, told Vince that he gave up red meat this summer, going with basically just fish and vegetables, a nice diet there, but to replenish some of the calories that he's not getting from the meatless world that the pescatarian is now living in. Andre Drummond is drinking one beer a day, and he told Vince Ellis that his beer is of choice is Miller Lite, and Corona being the second choice there. So, Andre Drummond, one beer a day. It's strange. It's peculiar. I know that it's a thing that some people have done in the past, and it's worked for some people. I've always kind of felt like weight loss is that kind of thing where it's like there's just a million different kind of things you can do. Obviously, you know, a healthy, balanced diet and exercise is probably the best thing, but obviously it's a different world for NBA athletes, so maybe they need to do something a little bit more drastic than that, but also making sure that they're maintaining their strength and getting ready for the rigors of an 82-game NBA season that is forthcoming. So we can't really compare what we do to what NBA pro athletes do. But yes, myself and a lot of folks out there have drank a lot of beers, more than a beer a day. How come I can't be fit? But Andre Drummond, it's strange, though. I mean, let's be honest. Andre Drummond is a strange dude, always has been. This is a strange diet idea. And I think even more than that, strange that he would admit that to a reporter, that he's going to write a story about it. You appreciate the honesty, of course, of the athletes, but at the same time, wow, another strange thing from Andre Drummond, who's our guy here in Detroit for at least one more year, maybe another year after that, or maybe even a long-term extension coming down the pike sometime soon as well. So Andre Drummond, one beer a day, says the Pistons center. And speaking of just more about our interview that we have with Aaron Ferguson, I got a little bit of feedback from listeners, not a tremendous amount, but some of you folks are saying, Aaron's not from here. He grew up in different places, and he lived here for a little while. He likes baseball more than basketball. I'm here to tell you that Something you should keep in mind that when I talk about a lot of the scoops and a lot of the things that are passed along about our Detroit Pistons basketball team is that the guy who, you know, pretty much runs this beat in terms of breaking news and is the inside source of it is Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, and he's not from here. He's from Alabama, and he's the guy out there killing the beat, knows the sources, knows this team inside and out compared to, you know, the rest of us on the outside that don't know it quite as much. And Vince Ellis grew up in Alabama. He's not a Pistons fan. He didn't grow up in the state of Michigan. Aaron Ferguson is in the same position that I have been many times in my career when you're kind of then the outsider in some ways. You're not the guy who was born and raised there. But I'll tell you what, a lot of the people who come from the outside, and maybe I'm a little projecting a little bit here on some of the issues that I've had in the past, not that any of them have been major, and obviously you just kind of ingratiate yourself to certain communities, and I think that'll work out just fine for Aaron Ferguson, and he'll do a great job as a site expert of Piston Power. It sounds like he's a very competent guy, and the early returns of what they're doing on that website are very good. But I think that I would encourage you guys to give the site a try under his stewardship. I just think that sometimes that when people are a little bit on the outside, that's sometimes a very valuable perspective that is sometimes lost for those of us that have maybe have a little bit of rose-colored glasses or get a little bit too emotionally invested in our team sometimes. I could speak to experience that. I'm sure you guys can, longtime listeners of the podcast, can speak to a couple of episodes for the good and the bad on reasons why maybe I wasn't the best host for the Locked On Pistons podcast that day for whatever reason. And I think that some of these outsiders, first of all, I don't consider Aaron a complete outsider at all. I think that he'll be just like one of us. He willingly applied for the job, got the job, and I think he'll do a great job. But, you know, if you want to consider him an outsider or someone who's starting his gig here a little bit as an outsider, I just want to say that I think we should accept those folks and understand that it's part of their coverage, and maybe we view a little bit. We all have bias. I mean, in journalism, we always like to say that, you know, there's no bias. You try to kick your bias out the window when you become a professional journalist. But it's a fact of life that everyone has bias that you got to kind of fight through in certain situations. But it's good to know that people that are talking about your team and covering your team and what kind of things that they have in their background and what kind of people they are. And that's why we're spending some time talking to those folks here this summer, so we can kind of you know, read and be consumers of the media and consumers of the content about our team and be more educated as the season goes on and know where these folks are coming from. So here's why we're doing that, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of the other guys with you guys, and I would, again, would encourage you guys to follow the work of everyone who covers the team and maybe gravitate more towards the outlets and the personalities that you maybe are more on the page with or respect their work or like their work or whatever. And there's plenty of good options out there, and I believe wholeheartedly the Piston Power will continue to be another one of those good options. Aaron Ferguson will do a great job of stewarding that website into the future. And that's not to say anything about the guys who ran the show before. Martin and Koo, those guys did a great job. We enjoyed their coverage. We look forward to continuing to read their stuff, watch their stuff, and have them be part of the Pistons online community as well. So all love for everyone out there, and thanks to you guys for continuing to support the Locked On Pistons podcast too, by the way. But the Locked On NFL podcast, that's on fire. Last week, it was one of the most listened to shows in the NFL and on the podcasting world. With the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock, Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. Up next, part two of our conversation that started on Monday's show with Aaron Ferguson of Piston Power. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
But Aaron Ferguson of Piston Power is joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. You talked about the uniforms, a story that you did, and I looked it over, and you came up with a surprise choice at number one. You went with the teals. Now what,
Yeah.
Well, I think that around here, I think that the classic look is something that people like. And I think that the teal uniforms, although they're, you know, unique, and I am all for bringing them back as far as like a one-time, kind of, alternate uniform type of thing. And I'm a little bit older than you are. So I think that the Pistons fans kind of have this, a lot of Pistons fans, not all Pistons fans, but some of us kind of have an aversion to those because it was like the franchise was like purposefully moving away from the Bad Boys era, when in actuality, at that point, the Bad Boys era was the only time that this team had had any success. So it didn't really make a lot of sense. And then they go to the green, the teal jerseys, and then they go back away from them. And then when they went away from them is when the team started having real success and went back to the kind of the old identity of you know, playing defense. And obviously the uniform didn't change all that, but it seems like, you know, as a fan, you kind of remember this teal jersey era as a kind of the, and I know the Grant Hill, obviously, you know, one of the best Pistons of all time, but it's not like a fulfilling era that we think of. I mean, a lot of thoughts of Eric Montross and Judd Bushler and stuff like that, instead of, you know, the glory days that were sandwiching that era. So, I mean, I think it's more of an emotional thing, but like, obviously when you're just kind of ranking jerseys, you're talking about fit. And you're also probably talking about some things that people might go purchase across the NBA and wear to Lollapalooza and wear to MoPop and stuff like that too.
Well, and I think that's the biggest thing is like, people maybe don't think about this is like, it's marketing, it's branding, it's right. Trying to sell new merchandise. So as has been documented, I've been in Illinois for, gosh, almost a decade now. Wow, that's a long time. In like at parties at Bradley, I would see teal Grant Hill Pistons jerseys. I think I saw a Stackhouse jersey at one point too. Like
maybe Theo Ratliff.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Grant Hill is definitely the popular one, but it's like, to me, from someone who didn't grow up in Detroit, and I understand sports are all about superstition or maybe just a little stitious. So I can understand the concern of Pistons fans that are a little older, or someone, you know, that has been in Detroit or the Michigan, or someone who's just loved the Pistons for whatever reason all their life, that maybe is not due to geographics. Like, I can understand those concerns, but to me, when I think of marketing and I think of the Pistons, like, that's a memorable jersey. I think that's a unique brand. Nobody else can do it. So I think that's something that kind of stuck with me. And I like the look, personally. It's a little different. It's an off color from what you normally wear, which I think is cool. If you read my piece, I bring up a powder blue jersey that very few people may know about. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the Pistons ever wore powder blues until I was looking up and doing some research for the piece. And I was like, man, that would be cool if they brought those back. Again, because it's unique. Not many teams wear the powder blues around the league. I know the Clippers have, the Grizzlies have had their version, the Nuggets, but I was thinking through, I don't think anybody in the Eastern Conference does wear powder blue. Yeah, so I don't know. Jerseys are interesting to me. I like the teals. The one interesting thing is I'm not a big fan of any of the reds that the Pistons have worn, and I don't know why that is. I know people like the Billups, Rip Hamilton reds when they won the title, and I'm sure – that has a little something to do with it. I don't know. I think it would be cool to see a different red jersey design that would be a little more unique and a little more creative than just some text and numbers.
Yeah, and I saw your article about it. You had, I think, number 2 with Greg Kelser there with the Lightning Strikes jerseys. That'd probably be my vote. I think I'd bring those back.
I really like
him playing there in Cobo Arena in downtown Detroit. But that's a good look. And, of course, Special K. Looking good in his early days, so young and so full of promise before injuries hit his career and kind of took him out a little bit early. But Aaron Ferguson here joining us on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Let's talk a little bit more about Aaron. You mentioned off mic to me that you lived in Michigan for about a year or so. What as someone who didn't grow up here, what did you think about? I mean, this is the classic Detroit area person question. Who's curious about what people think about the area when they come. Every visitor that we have come in, we're always, so what do you think about this? So what's kind of your main things you think of when you think of your time in Michigan?
I think Detroit's an underrated city. As someone who is an outsider, like, it got such negative publicity, and I was like, I think the first time I went downtown was probably to go to Comerica, which I understand is not truly Detroit because it's more of one of those touristy areas. But I've been around downtown Detroit and driven around and see different parts of the downtown and the suburbs, and I'm just impressed with the entire area, the Detroit downtown proper area, The ballpark district, as I call it. I don't know if that's an official name, but that's what I call it because they're all right there. All the suburbs, I traveled around. My siblings went to Harrison, Farmington Hills Harrison. So I would travel to some of the football games because they'd be in the band. And maybe the band didn't always travel, but we like to watch football and support the community. So we would go around to some of the neighboring communities to watch high school football on a Friday night. And just the whole area is really nice. I think one thing I'm surprised is how many luxury cars there are on the road around Detroit. And I don't know why that's a surprise. I just expect everybody to be driving like a Ford or Chrysler or something, but it's like BMWs, Teslas everywhere. And so that was a little different. It's not good or bad. I think it's great for people. Do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
I guess one of the things I was surprised with is how much money there is in the area, which in hindsight, looking at it now, it's like, well, they've got all these big companies there. Like, why am I surprised by that? But I don't know. I'd say that's probably the biggest takeaway, that I think Detroit's an underrated city, and I think the metro area fully supports it.
Wealth disparity is a bit of an issue around here, obviously, in the metro Detroit area. And the cars, I think there are more, and I've lived around the country and outside of the continental United States a little bit myself, too. And I do notice that I think there are more American cars here, obviously. But like you said, there are a lot of performance vehicles. And I think that's because people just like to drive here. People like to get a powerful, high-performance car, get on Woodward, and drive here in Metro Detroit. And not exclusive to American cars. Like you said, they'll get a nice BMW and ride it there. And I got to tell you what, Aaron, if you want to see some high school football in the Metro Detroit area, you picked the right school. Farmington Hills Harrison, John Harrington, the legendary coach. Unfortunately, they're closing the school. It's now closed, and they had their last season of football last year for the legendary coach, John Harrington. But yeah, you got a good taste of Friday night football when you were here back then.
And I went to a Saline High School playoff game. My parents went to Virginia Tech, which is why I'm here in Virginia visiting family, I guess both sides of their families. So my parents went to Virginia Tech, and at the time, Josh Jackson was the quarterback at Saline. Mm-hmm. And I think they're playing Ann Arbor Pioneer, maybe. That may be way off. I don't really know. It was one of the Ann Arbor schools. But we went out to see Josh just because it was his junior or senior year, and he was already committed to Virginia Tech at that point. So it was kind of a unique opportunity where we got to go see a Virginia Tech recruit play high school ball, kind of support them through that. So I've been around, seen plenty of different high school football. One thing I will say is the spread offense hit this area quicker than it did some of the Illinois communities that I grew up in and watched when I was in high school, that's for sure. It's a pleasant sight to see.
Yeah, Harrison's known for their past, happy pasts with Drew Stanton and Agim Jabaj. They used to play there. And Mill Coleman, when you go way back, a former Michigan State wide receiver that was a quarterback in high school. And you mentioned Josh Jackson. His dad was a former Michigan football coach, and Fred Jackson, the running backs coach there, who's now at, I believe, as I do this off, I think he's at Jackson High School and coached there for a little while. But now, like as you know, as a Hokies fan, Josh transferred to Maryland after having that injury last year. So we'll keep an eye on Josh Jackson at quarterback, probably starting, I would imagine, for the Terrapins in Big Ten football this fall. Not just Pistons talk here on Locked On Pistons. It is August, so we got to find interesting things to bring up. But Aaron, anything else? Is there a guy that you – let's we'll put you on the spot one more time. Who, as you kind of look at this roster right now, the Pistons, you know, everyone's kind of picking them for 500, maybe a little bit below, maybe once again right in the middle of the – or the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff race is kind of the consensus, as one might imagine. If they're going to make that leap, like you said, to the 4 or the 5 seed and really have, like, you know, a 45-plus win season, if that's in the cards for them, is there one player that you think that kind of is A – you know, capable of making that leap and going from what they are to what they could be? And is there a guy that you think might be that guy who steps up and has a big year for Detroit?
Well, I don't know if it's so much having a big year, but expectations are going to be high on Derrick Rose after what he did last year in Minnesota. I think if he just maintains that level of play, it is going to be a huge help for the Pistons. Nothing against Ish Smith. I thought he was great. He was the star in his role, which is what you want. But I think Derrick Rose is a signature improvement if he can maintain what he did last year. Not only he's always going to be great driving towards the basket, may not have the same explosiveness after his injury, but if he can shoot that three ball consistently and space the floor, that's going to be something that's huge. And that's actually one of the things that one of our writers is exploring, is how the Pistons have improved their 3-point shooting this offseason. And I think some of our writers have actually picked up on trends. If you look at today's game, it's kind of like the old Grinnell college system, where all you can shoot is either a layup or a three-pointer. And that's kind of what the NBA game has turned into now, is you don't see a lot of mid-range games. Sean Livingston is probably one of the few mid-range guys, which is one reason why I'm kind of torn in the Carmelo Anthony thing. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he excels in that mid-range. And that's one reason I didn't really share this in the story, because I don't know why. I probably forgot about it because I was writing at 2 a.m. on vacation. But Carmelo Anthony is an intriguing fit because he's not a great three-point shooter. But if the Pistons have that floor spacing around him, he could be a guy that excels in that mid-range area, which is one reason why Sean Livingston was so effective with the Warriors, because they could all shoot threes and he could kind of just patrol that mid-range area, get in the paint, hit a little turnaround jumper. But anyway, yeah, I think Rose is a guy. The biggest thing is health. At the end of the day, Reggie needs to be healthy. Blake is obviously the most important player in terms of health. And then I think probably the biggest piece that's going to help them get to a 4-5 seed or better is going to be an acquisition, perhaps before the season or at the trade deadline or before the trade deadline. I don't think this roster is finished between what it's at now and what it's going to be like in April when they're making that postseason push. You look at guys with expiring contracts, Reggie Jackson, is he a guy that could be flipped? Is Langston Galloway a guy that's going to stay on the roster? They have some young pieces, so if they want to make a big swing at a Brad Beal or somebody like that, I think they have the pieces to do that. But I think there's going to be another element to this team that we just have not seen yet.
Yeah, and we'll be reading Piston Powered throughout the season and seeing you guys work through it and figure out, you know, who they should bring in or who they should think about bringing in, and analyzing any deals that come along the way. It's one of the great Pistons fan websites out there, and I know Aaron Ferguson's going to do a great job of maintaining that quality as a site expert of Piston Powered. Aaron, enjoy the rest of your travels around the country. Virginia, I've been there before. It's I'd like to go back sometime. It's a great area, and like you said, I think you're going to Roanoke soon and all that. So enjoy that area, and let us know when you're going to be in Detroit for a game sometime this year. We'll meet up, and good luck with the site, and we'll talk to you sometime as the season gets going.
Thanks so much for having me and accommodating me as I'm traveling through really kind of like the whole eastern half of the United States.
Thanks again to Aaron Ferguson of Piston Powered for joining us for a two-parter this week, and we will have him on again as the season gets going. But that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for joining us. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying, hey, we'll be back with one more episode before this week is out. And have a good rest of the week or a couple days or whenever we talk to you next. Thanks for listening. Let's just say goodbye. Bye.